today in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 8, verse 40, 41. Start with verse 41. And there was a man named Jairus, who was an official of the synagogue. Notice what he does. And he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. For he had a daughter, an only daughter that was 12 years old, that was dying. Now go with me to verse 55 through 56. If you don't have a Bible, there's also on the screen. And he took her by the hand and called her out. Child, get up. And the spirit returned on her. She got up at once. And her parents were astounded. How do you expect for them to feel after they received their daughter? And they ordered them not to tell no one what had happened. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this group that's here today. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives, Lord. Once again, we stand before your holy throne asking that you fill us up, that you inject us with that power, with that unction of your spirit. And Lord, if there's individuals here, those are the ones that have walked in saying, God, I need a word. I need something today. I pray that you prepare their hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take your seats. I'm going to take you to the book of Luke. I've been speaking on the ministry of Jesus. Have you followed the sermons? If you haven't been falling asleep while I preach, I know we're early. This is the first service, so I know it's a little bit hard sometimes. The flesh is still weak and is not awake. But I've been studying the ministry of Jesus and the miracles, how Jesus ministered on the earth. Last week I was speaking on the kingdom of God, how Jesus came preaching and establishing the kingdom of God. How did he do that? He started by preaching, teaching, healing the sick, and casting out devils. He was establishing his kingdom. And several of his miracles, when we study his ministry and the miracles, Luke chapter 8 records this one. After a miracle, after Jesus does something, things begin to shift and move. We see movements. We see rally cries. We see Jesus establishing vision and or something new in that place, in that community, and amongst that region or people. Every time Jesus did something, it triggered an effect. And that's why I love about the miracles, that when after Jesus does something, we see the ripple effect that it continues throughout that region. And here once again, we see that Jesus heals this young girl, this child of 12 years old. Now, the verses we read were the beginning of the miracle, when it all started, and then we bookend it with the verse 55, 50, 56, after Jesus completes or does the miracle. I want to begin today with this inaugural statement, with this first comment. When the devil cannot stop you, he'll try to distract you. I've titled this sermon, Speed Bumps or Road Bumps to Your Miracle or Breakthrough or Blessing, however you want to fit it in your spirit. But when the devil cannot stop you, he'll throw things at you to distract you, discourage you, or even to refocus your attention. But every time God has something for you, God will finish what he started. God is not just interested in your success. God is interested in your experience. That's why church is important. That's why plugging in to a service or plugging in to a spirit-filled community is important, because that's how you get experiences with God. I know God is out there. I know God is at work, and God is at your home, and God is in your car. But when we come together, God in the house of God, we have an experience with Him. We have a corporate experience in the presence of the Lord. That's why when we worship and lift our hands and worship Him in spirit, we're having an experience with Him. And we're saying, wow, I'm glad I went to church, because the moment they started singing that song, or they sung my song, I felt His presence. I felt His spirit falling on me, and I received that strength and that feeling that I needed. So you came in here looking for an experience, and after you've been in worship and you receive a word, you leave this place saying, I'm glad I made it to church today, I'm glad I heard that word today, because I needed that. And you had an experience with God. Now, Don't just come to church just to hear a song or just to see what my brother Moses is wearing or what my sister is wearing or who came, who didn't come, or just to check out, see who we're going to go eat afterwards. Come to church knowing that God has something for you, that He has a blessing for you, that He has a miracle for you, saying, man, I've had a hard week and I know if I make it to His house, if I make it to church, God's going to give me something. Any witnesses are in the house this morning, say, that's for me, brother. I fought the devil all week. The devil's been coming against me every morning and I've been discouraged, but I'm glad I made it to the house of the Lord, because the moment I walked in, I knew God has something in for me and in my spirit. How many say amen? So come expecting experience. Have an experience with God. I mean, I grew up in this church. Some of y'all grew up in this church. I grew up here, man. I was a little kid. I remember those services when, man, my mom... the cool people were sitting in the back, but my mama didn't let me sit. That was children's church for me. I couldn't sit in the back. My mama sent me in the front. Said, I want you to sit in the front so the preacher could spit at you. So the preacher could get to you. The preacher could, you know, lay his hands on you. So I grew up here. I grew up under these benches. I grew up here. And I remember those experiences. We're a Pentecostal church. I know this is the first service and we're a little laid back, but we're a Pentecostal church. Ain't nothing wrong getting a little loud every once in a while. You know? Ain't nothing wrong with if you get excited. So I remember those experiences when we have Holy Ghost services. Brothers, sisters, I remember saying, man, what's wrong with that sister? Sisters would run around the church. Sisters would fall out. And I remember my grandma used to bring us to church too. And my grandma would get all excited. And I would look at my grandma and say, Grandma, what do you got to say all that? I got cousins here. They know what I'm talking about. My grandma was Pentecostal. She'd get loud, in other words. And my grandma was old school. And my friends would come and say, hey, isn't that your grandma? I don't even know that lady. I don't know who she with. I saw her walk in with so-and-so. But that was grandma because she was Pentecostal. And I remember those experiences in church. So when you come to God's house, come for an experience. God is a God of the process, of the experience. It's not just making it, but it's also receiving. Now I wanted you to see something as we read these scriptures. Notice a man called Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, comes to Jesus. And notice, he comes and falls out. He falls before Him, humbles himself before the Lord. And he cries out, Jesus, could you heal my daughter? My daughter is dying. 12 years old. That was his petition. This is the inception, the genesis of the miracle. This is when it all started. Let me give you some setting here. A man comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I need a miracle. My daughter is dying. Notice the man came. I don't know, I don't speak of his wife or the mother. But the man came to Jesus. You want to see a blessed man? A blessed man is a man that comes to Jesus. It's a man that knows, I need Him in my life. I don't just need church. I don't just need money. I don't just need a job or a car or a brand new house. I need Jesus. That's a blessed man. And he comes to Jesus and says, my daughter is dying. The beginning, the inception of the miracle. Then we read how Jesus healed her. Now I want to take you from point A to point B. But even from the beginning, something begins to happen. Now verse 42 says that she was 12 years old. And the moment they started walking, notice the crowds pressed in on him. Point number one. Today, if you're taking notes, you can write them behind your bulletin. That's why we left those notes part. But I know some of you are like, oh, Pastor, I got it all here. I got it all here. Just say it, Pastor. I record it here. I got a recording thing in my mind. I don't write. Ain't nobody write no more. We don't even type anymore. We just iPhone it. Point number one, when God has a miracle for you, the devil will always try to distract you. The devil will always try to put road bumps before you. Notice, the enemy never attacks those that are doing nothing. The enemy will never attack those that are not moving. But the moment you decide to do something for God, as they were walking, as they moved, immediately the people or the crowds pressed in on him. And the enemy will always attack those that are wanting to do something for God. You know, I don't want the devil to mess with me. I don't want, but don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. Don't change. Don't, no, don't come. Don't do nothing. I said, man, that's the way I want to live. But that's when the enemy has access to your family, to your life, to the things that you love. But the moment they started moving, the crowds pressed in. Point number one, how to deal with pressure and people. The enemy will always try to distract you through pressure and people. Look at somebody and just say, people, people, people got problems. People got issues. Just people, people. Pressure and people. Now, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. I have to deal with people. I have to deal with people around me. And I used to have a friend that say, man, I love ministry. It's just people that I can't stand. But ministry is people. Ministry is people. Getting along with people, working with people, knowing what how to handle problems and people. So if you want to do something for God, you got to know how to handle people. Not just people, but difficult people. Somebody say, amen, preacher. Pressure and people. Notice the moment you start moving for God, pressure comes. Wow, I never felt this before. This is tight, but it's right. It's Tony Evans. Starting that book this Wednesday. Come Wednesday, we've had a full classes, and we have good teachers. I think you'll enjoy this. It's one of my favorite books. Come this Wednesday. It may get tight, but it's going the right way, the right direction. When God has something for you, pressure comes. The worship team, we got to get ready. We got to practice. We got to be prayed up. We got to sound good. Pressure comes. When you got to preach, I got to get my notes done. I have to have all my study here. I got to get ready. Pressure comes when you got an interview, when you got to start a new job, when you're about to make a change in your life for you. Something's going to happen. Something new's coming. Pressure comes. Why pressure? Because you want it to be successful. You want it to turn out good. You want to see the outcome of the results. Pressure is part of the process. And not just pressure. The Bible says they pressed in on him. People got around him. People, I had this whole list of people. I said, nah, I ain't going to go. A pastor I heard preaching. He talked about all these people. You got the hammer. The person just comes in and hammers you. You got the whiner that every time you get around them, you just want to play the violin. You got all these kind of people. But I wasn't going to talk about all that. Because sometimes we like the process. We like the miracle. We like that down the line, Jesus is going to do what he said he's going to do. But we don't just like people that get in our way. People that get difficult. People that Facebook on us, or they put us on blast, or people that say something about us. And we're like, man, I was having just a good day. But why did I see that comment? And then you get down, you get discouraged, and you're like, why did I even bother? And the enemy uses sometimes, yes, he uses pressure. And hate to say, he uses people. Please don't point fingers at nobody, please. In Jesus' name, I pray that your finger get leprosy if you start pointing. that the fleas of 1,000 camels fall on you if you start pointing right now. But people is part of the process. If I just had a better mom, if I just had a better husband, if I just had a better childhood, a better parent, if I just had a better teachers and better, if I had more money, we always want to blame people, but people are part of the process. That's why when the miracle started, they were pressed in and people were coming around them. But just because people get around your life and people get nasty and messy around you, God is still going to do what he said he was going to do. The miracle and the blessing and the breakthrough is still in process. It's still in progress. Continue to press on. Continue to walk forward. Continue to follow Jesus. If God said it, he's going to do it. How many say amen? I know it gets tight. You can't breathe. You can't talk. We were just in San Antonio. I took the group of hermanas to a convention and I came back and we have a van full of sisters. You can't talk. You just listen and say, yes, honey. Yes, ma'am. See, Sister Cantu. See, yeah, whatever. You want to stop here? Bucky's? Yeah, we're going to be. Yeah, whatever y'all say, we're going to do it. Some of you, I don't know if you guys grew up with sisters or just women in your house. You know, just got to listen. God gave you a gift of listening. Sometimes they don't let you talk. The pressure. People. But it's part of the process. Number two. Notice, the moment they walked, they moved, pressure, people. That's point one. Number two, as they were walking, and there was a woman had been suffering from hemorrhages or bleeding for 12 years. And she had spent all she had on physicians and no one could cure her. And she came to Jesus too and touched the hem of his garment. And the moment she touches Jesus, Jesus says, hold up. Oh, yeah, I've been all these people around me, all this pressure around me. Somebody touch me. And the disciples said, yeah, Jesus, everybody touched you. Look at all these people around us. Look at all this. All this they're walking with us. He said, but somebody touch me. Everybody touched you, Jesus. No, this one touched me with faith. Now, we saw a man that approached Jesus with faith. Now, we see a woman approaching Jesus with faith. I'm telling you something. A woman with faith is a powerful woman. Because she believes the word. She believes, well, this marriage is never going to change. These kids are never going to change. This sickness is never going to change. I'm never going to get a promotion. I'm never going to get a breakthrough. When you have faith, God does the impossible. The currency of heaven is faith, not doubt. So when there's faith in your spirit, whoo, Jesus says, okay. Or God sees it and says, this was talking my language. So don't ever come to church. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I'm just so discouraged. My wife, she don't want to cook for me anymore. My husband, he don't want to work. Ain't nothing happening. My kids, they don't call anymore. All kids do now is text. They just text or Facebook. They don't want to hear your voice. And you think nothing's going to change. Activate your faith and say, God, I still believe your word. I still believe what you promised. So this woman comes with faith. And Jesus says, somebody touch me with faith. Somebody touch me, believing something. Now, point number two is sometimes when the miracle starts, Jesus was responding to Jairus' miracle, what he needed, his need. But then he had to deal with people. Point number two, sometimes when we're in line or we're moving in God or we're in the process of getting our breakthrough, sometimes we feel pushed aside. Say, didn't we start walking to my house? Didn't we start going to my girl, 12 years old? Aren't we going on my assignment? And notice, when God starts doing something in your life, that's how you know when God is working. Because you start seeing the need around you. And you're saying, man, I was going to church to get my husband saved, but now my whole family wants to come. I was praying, hoping God to do something in my marriage, but now my sister's going to church and I'm seeing God work in her life. And it seems like sometimes God ignores us because of the needs around us. They started going to Jairus' home, but now they're dealing with this woman. And there will be times, who's more important? Who's more valuable? This 12-year-old child or this woman? Notice the timeline. Both had 12-year-old issues. She had suffered for 12 years. So, Jesus sees it the same. And a lot of times when you're working for God, when you're doing something for Him, and you're thinking, okay, I'm finally going the direction I want to. But somebody steps in. Somebody steps in and you get pushed aside. Oh, God. Finally, got one kid through college. Now I got to get another kid through college. Finally, my dad is healthy. Went through cancer, but now he's home. But now I have to take care of my mom. She's dealing with sickness also. Finally, paid off my house. Now I got to pay my son's car. Finally, going the way I want to go. But now having to deal with other issues or needs. Finally, family's happy, but now I got to take care of my mom because she's sick. Finally, family is restored, but now I got to carry the burden of somebody else. Guys, it's part of the process. And yes, it seems like you're getting pushed aside. But God, I thought we were going to finish this. I thought we were going to finally accomplish this. This was the year of breakthrough. And now I'm having to deal with this issue, carry this burden, carry this heaviness. I know sometimes it seems like getting there quick is what God wants. It's not just getting there quick. It's how many people you're taking with you. How much capacity is in you to help others? God, remember, God is not just interested in success, but in the experience. Do you know how to carry heavy things? Or is it when just convenient? Well, you know, kind of works out with my schedule. I'll go, I guess. Guess I'll pray. You know, it's Labor Day tomorrow. I got to go to work, so I guess I'll pray tomorrow. You know, it's, you know, my brother there, you know, invited me to lunch. Yeah, I guess I'll go with my brother, go to lunch, because it kind of, you know, hang out after service. Kind of, just kind of go with the convenience and the flow. But can you carry capacity? Are you a person of capacity to say, I'm not trying to be Jesus for you or be your savior or martyr, but I know how to carry burdens because my family went through that also. Let me pray for your family. I know what it is to go through sickness and to take care of a mother or a parent, to know what it is to take care of a child that's in jail and go through that process. Let me pray for you because I know how that feels. I know that burden. I know that heaviness. And I am a person of capacity. When you got problems, I got problems too because we're family. Person of capacity. You know, not any little thing blows you. Oh, that hurts. Oh, they don't love me here. Any little thing. And you're so discouraged. Be a person of capacity. That I'm going, I'm following, I'm doing what God has me to do. But problems don't scare me. People don't scare me. Burdens don't scare me. Attitudes don't scare me. I'm a person of capacity. Hit your neighbor because they're falling asleep and say, you are a person of capacity. You know how to hang in there. You know how to praise God. You know how to go through storms. You know what it is to carry other people's burdens and problems. You're not a weakling. You're a giant in the hands of the Lord. You're great and mighty in the hands of the Lord. You are a person of capacity. You carry your burdens and other people's burdens. Let me finish here because I got like 5 minutes. We have another service. But I just felt this in my spirit. Number three, notice what happened. Notice this whole scenario here. The moment the miracle started, the breakthrough started, boom, they move, pressure, people. How do I know I'm going the right direction? Look at the people around you. Pastor, where am I going to be in 5 years? Look at the people around you. Pastor, is this God's will for my life? Check your surroundings. Those are indicators if you're going the right direction. And every time God has something for you, He will throw people, difficult people. Because people go funny on you. People get diva on you. People say, oh, no, Pastor, we love you, but just mess with their stuff. Oh, no, they'll go off. Oh, no, I know you did it. I know you just ain't going to do that to me. Talk to me that way. Change that on me and do this. And people will get difficult on you. But you just got to deal with them. Number three, I put proximity. Notice as after Jesus heals this woman that was bleeding, Jesus deals with this other. Now they're going to Jairus' house. They're walking in the right direction. They deal with this woman. And as they're finishing up, after Jesus does this great miracle, look what happens. While he was still speaking, Jesus was still preaching, Jesus was still speaking. He was still, in other words, Jesus had the crowd. Jesus had the mic. When he was still speaking, some of the leaders of the house came and said, Jesus, just forget it. Your daughter is dead now. Do not trouble the teacher any longer. Don't even mess with them. It's too late. Forget about it. We missed it. You know, you got caught up with this other need here. You got caught up with this other lady here. And I think sometimes that's the way we feel. Man, I've been at this church. I've been in this ministry. I've been in this worship team. I've been in this department. I've been in this class. And it seems like I just done all this stuff. When am I going to get mine? And you revolve around those issues. And this is what's happening here. Can you see Jairus? Okay, Jesus, let's go. We're going to my house. But then people get in the way. Number two, not only people, but now a legitimate need. This woman was hurting. So you can't say, oh, I know my wife, my daughter's dying, but so is this woman. So you're like, that dilemma, should I pressure Jesus or just, what do I do? What do I do? I know this is important, but that's important too. And Jesus says, while he was still speaking, do you see Jairus? Oh, Jesus, I didn't say nothing when all these people came around you. I didn't say nothing when you dealt with this woman here. I didn't say nothing when the crowds. I did all this. I was being obedient, and now it's too late, Jesus. Forget it. Forget it. Did everything right, and she still died. proximity, I use that word because notice what happens. When Jesus heard this, he replied, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be saved." Remember, those are words of affirmation. It's not just success, it's the experience. So even in experience, you're going to feel discouraged. But the closer they got to the house, the louder things got. Let me rephrase that. The closer they got to the house, proximity, the closer they got to the miracle, the more negative stuff they heard. And this was the climax. "It's just too late, Jesus." And some of you are thinking, "It's just too late. Why come to church? Why pray? Why continue? Why be here? Why try? Why be a Christian? Why continue to serve the Lord? Why? It's just too late. I'm coming. I came this morning to tell you, only believe. Don't fear. Just believe. Because if God said it, He's going to do it. God is in the process. God is in the direction. God is taking you to your miracle. I know all the naysayers said something and everybody brought bad news and told you it wasn't going to happen. But God today tells you, I know your marriage looks sick and your body looks sick and everything around you looks sick, but Jesus is in the house and He's going to heal you. He's going to take you through it. He's going to make it. He's going to take you where God said, where He promised He was going to take you. Do not fear, only believe, and it shall happen." Forgive me if I get it loud. I'm here to wake you up. I tried my wife thing and it didn't work, so I'm getting loud. Now I'm going to wake you up. The closer you get to your miracle, the louder the devil gets. The closer you get to your breakthrough, the more voices are going to come up. "What about your past? What about that mistake? What about that child out of wedlock? What about that abortion? What about that failure? You know you'd caught a case. You know you did time. You know you went over there. You know you stole money and they fired you from that job and you went through that experience and your mama wasn't around, your dad." The closer you get to your miracle, the louder the devil gets on you. And you get, "Oh, what am I going to do? They're going to find out. Hey, what's going to happen?" You start freaking out. How do I know I'm getting closer? Because the devil is getting a bigger mouth. How do I know I'm getting closer? Because it's getting louder out there, but it's also getting louder in here. I know that he's promised. I know he's saying something to me. Let me finish with this. Number four, verse 55, 56, just because I'm running out of time, I have a couple of minutes. When Jesus goes to the house, they finally make it. They make it to Jairus' home. Watch what happens. When Jesus gets there, he begins to throw people out the house. Say, "You go, you go, you go, you, and your mama and your mother-in-law, all y'all go, bye. Bye, Felicia." I wasn't going to say that, but prophetically, Felicia got to go. He kicked everybody out except Peter, John, and James, and the child's parents. See, the closer you get to your miracle, there's some people you just got to shut off. And say, "You know, I'm tired of all that nonsense, I'm tired of that talk, and talking that way, and talking about pastor, and talking about that church, and talking about them people, and talking about that family, and talking about my family. And always got something negative to say. Jesus, I ain't got time for that. I'm doing something." So he kicks all them people out, and all that were weeping and wailing, they begin to mock Jesus and say, "Do not weep anymore. She's not dead, but sleeping." But all those that were crying begin to mock him, and they laughed at him because they knew she was dead. Number four, be careful with the pessimists, with those that are saying this ain't going to happen. You'll never get married. You'll never finish school. Your kids are never going to come home. You'll never get off of drugs. You'll never get off of that stuff. You'll never have a change. You'll never get a promotion. And you're thinking that's never going to happen because you're listening to the wrong voices. And there are times you just got to tell your spirit, say, "I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to listen to His Word. I'm going to listen to the preacher. I don't care what everybody else is saying and what they're doing. I know God has something for me. And I'm His child. I'm His daughter. I'm His son. And if God said it, He's going to do it." Who are the pessimists? Those are your mockers. That's who they were. Your haters. Those that just, they see you and they're like, "Phew." They give you the hand.
They look at you and they're like, that brother ain't none. Brother Moses ain't none. You're haters.
How do I know I'm about to get my breakthrough? Because the haters start talking. They start talking. They start singling you out and they start saying. But that means you're getting closer. Don't listen to haters. Listen to what God has for you. What He said about you. And they laughed at Him. And watch what Jesus does. He kicks them out. Look at your neighbor and says, something got to go. Somebody got to go. Some Facebook people got to go. Some girlfriends got to go. Some friends got to go. Some contacts got to go. Some got to go because I'm about to get my breakthrough. Amen.